This month is going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. We're going to do some things that are completely different than our normal Sunday mornings here. Today, to kick things off, there's just a bunch to get in. So I'm going to kind of shorten some of the stuff that I am excited about so I can have more room for some other things that I'm equally excited about, but just I can't be excited about it all today. So I had to pick and choose. So first of all, already before today even happened, I already kicked out the Hebrews. So on your bulletins, we're only going to look at the Psalm 119 and Psalm 19. We're going to save Hebrews for the 19th, all these 19s. Psalm 19, Psalm 119, Hebrews 4:12 is going to be on the 19th. And so so that's I moved that around to try and give us some room there. We are starting a series here, kind of piggybacking off the Making a Difference in My Personal Life. And we're taking a month and looking at Bible study, our personal Bible study, and how to make a difference there, because that's God left his word for us. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. And that's what these passages in Psalm 119 and 19 really captures, how awesome it is to have God's word here with us in our life. And it can't just sit on the coffee table, or it can't just sit, you know, as an app on our phone that we don't ever, you know, tap into or use, or it's everywhere. We're going to be getting into some of the resources. So what we're going to be doing today, I've got a little bit of time for some sermon notes, and I really need us to just kind of focus and look at those and let that sink into your heart pretty quickly, because I'm not going to be able to preach it into your heart. You got to just let it jump right in there. So and it's just a couple of passages that are really dear to me on the just awesomeness of Scripture. And so we'll take some quick notes. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pull out the insert from your bulletin, and we're going to take a bunch of notes there, walk through some things. And these are some Bible study tips and techniques that I'm passing on to you guys. And then we're going to be using those. I'll explain a little more about that later as we get into things. So Psalm 19 and Psalm 119, I'm going to bounce between the two of these. So Psalm 19, we'll go there first. The first half of verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul, reviving the soul, bringing life to my soul." Let's write that down. God's word will bring life to my soul. That part of us that lives forever with God, that part of us that's going to last far beyond our body, far beyond this physical world, it's our soul. It brings life to our soul. It refreshes our soul. It restores our soul. I so badly want to preach about that, but please just take a moment. Think about how awesome that is. And now the second half of verse 7. "The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." I love this verse. Love it, love it, love it. It was brought to my attention way back in college, and I was like, I like that. Because sometimes I have some smart moments. Sometimes I don't. You know, so it's kind of almond joy mounds, you know, sometimes there. But I think we're all in that case, you know. But I think this is awesome. Making wise the simple. Let's write that down. That God's word will make the simple wise. I love that. God's word will make the simple wise. No matter where you are, and all of us, when you weigh us against God, we're all simple compared to God and his wisdom. So, but you know, for us, there's all sorts of different levels. But for everyone, we can all be made wise by God's word. I think also this gives us a little bit of a key that if you really want to get wisdom from God's word, you have to approach it humbly. You have to approach it simply. As a simple person. And when you're going into Bible study, where it's a big group study like this in church, smaller group like a small group or Sunday school, or your personal Bible study, to go to God's word just with a humble attitude, leave the ego at the door, because it will get in the way. If you want wisdom from God's word, you take yourself and you become simple, and it'll make the simple wise. Great stuff. Over to 119, starting in verse 97, kind of build on this, you know, how does God's word make the simple wise? He says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts." So a number of different words used there. So let's go and write those down. God's word, it will give me knowledge, wisdom, insight, and understanding. Powerful, powerful things. And this is in our life. It's right here. God left it for us. Knowledge, acquired fact, acquired truth, either gained through experience or study, experience either that you've experienced it yourself or you've observed it. You know, a car accident. If you've been in a car accident, you've experienced it, you know truth about that. If you've watched a car accident, that's a form of experiencing it. It's a different form, but you were there. It was a firsthand experience that gave you some information, some truth about that situation. So that's one way you can learn knowledge. You can gain knowledge another way, and that is through study. That's through researching. That's through reading about other people's observations or other people's experiences. There are some things that that would be better learned through study than through experience. You know, would you rather learn about the truths of quicksand through experience or through study? Where do you want to gain that knowledge on quicksand? There are better ways than others. What about the effects of getting poison ivy in your pants? I'd much rather study that and learn it than have to find out from experience. So God's word doesn't talk about quicksand or poison ivy, but it gives us a lot of different things that we can read about and study and get knowledge about without having to experience them. And sometimes experiencing truth is experiencing the negative side of truth. And that's not something that any of us want to do. And if we can avoid that by learning about it and watching how other people have experienced the negative side of truth, or other people have experienced the positive side of truth, either way, when we read and study and learn about it that way, that's a way of gaining knowledge about things that we don't have to experience to get. And God's word has just got just a huge amount of knowledge available through all of the different stories and things that take place there. Not only does the Bible give us knowledge, but it gives us wisdom. Wisdom is when you put knowledge together with sound judgment, clear judgment. Knowledge is understanding the facts. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the facts, how to apply the facts. Knowledge about the effects of poison ivy is one thing. Clear judgment, not to get it in your pants, is another. You know, so that's wisdom based on the knowledge that you have. Wisdom applies the facts. Then insight is deeper than knowledge. Insight's looking at the core of something, getting to the true nature of something. Having insight helps us to even better make judgment calls and more wise decisions on our behavior. So when we put that all together, that's understanding. Understanding is kind of putting that together. So if knowledge is answering the what question, if wisdom's answering the how question, how do I apply this knowledge that I have? And then if insight's kind of answering the why or the where, so why does this take place or where does this come from, then understanding is just kind of grabbing it all together and putting it all together to make sense together. Understanding. So we've got knowledge, insight, wisdom, understanding. Back to Psalm 19 for verse 8. The psalmist says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the hearts. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." So write this down. This is from different places, but some of it's from this passage here. God's word brings joy and hope to my heart. Those are powerful words. Joy and hope to my heart. You give someone hope, you give them something that is an amazingly powerful source. God's word gives us hope for our heart. It gives us joy for our heart, not just happiness, not something that's situational or circumstantial, but something that's there that can't be touched by situations or circumstances. It brings joy and hope to our heart. It's powerful. Bouncing back over to Psalm 119, "I have kept my feet from every evil path so I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path." And if we were going to continue, Psalm 119 is a large psalm, obviously, because we're reading in verses 97 through 104. But it's broken up into groups that are part of it. So I just want to take one group. But if we were to go to one verse into the next group, we'd get into a verse that's very familiar for a lot of us that we see on bumper stickers or little plaques that you put on your desk or whatnot, and that is that your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. You guys are familiar with that passage. Well, that's in 105, so just one verse over from where we just stopped. But that connects and then moves into a different section. So God's word, it gives me guidance to righteousness, righteous living, gives us a guide to righteous living and to peace. Peace is not a word that's readily accessible in our world. And we have a source of peace right here. And so much more available than it ever has been before. I mean, we've got the Bible on mobile devices. I've got it on my phone. I've got it on my tablet. I've got it on my computer. And I'll be showing you some resources later that are going to be very, very helpful there. So God's word gives me guidance to righteous living and the peace. So we've got this quick little list from Psalm 119 and Psalm 19. God's word is amazing. I think we know that. I wanted to bring that to the surface before we jumped into this whole series on God's word, that God's word is amazing. And sometimes maybe we've let it fall by the wayside. Maybe it has been sitting on the bedside table or on the coffee table for too long. Or maybe we have the app on our phone, but we haven't opened it in a while. We haven't been into it and read it. I wanted to bring back to your attention how awesome God's word is, that it's right there for us, that this hope, this joy, this wisdom, knowledge, insight, the understanding that comes from it, the peace, this guide to righteous living, that God's word brings life to my soul. It restores my soul. All of these things, just so very awesome. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to transition over to this sheet. So if you want to pull this sheet out, this is a sheet that I want you guys to keep. I picked a neutral color, so guys, you'd feel all right. Stick it in your Bible. For this week, I want to make sure I have a digital copy of this already filled out on the website, so you can have it available to you anywhere you go on your phone or tablet or whatnot. But we're going to take some. Do you have those? Nicole is panicking. She's like, this is a whole lot. So I'll try my best to move through this fairly quickly. But what I'm doing is I'm giving you some tips and some tools, some techniques to some Bible study. So three little areas there that I kind of divide this up into is dig it, eat it, and use it. So dig it. Understand the aim, the author's intended meaning. Aim, A-I-M. The author's intended meaning. And anytime you're studying the Bible, if it's for, you know, to teach a class or to in class, this is where you need to start. You have to look at the aim, the author's intended meaning. And then there's a lot of pieces below that. One way of getting to that is surveying the background. So survey the background. Find out who wrote the book. Sometimes that's very important. Find out who it was written to. It's equally important. That's important for figuring out the why it was written, which was fourth bullet point on there. When was it written? All those, very important to find out. We had, if you guys remember when Logan did his rewritten version of the Hallelujah song from Psalm 51. To read Psalm 51, it's a potent piece of scripture, but to find out that David wrote it and to find out, so that's who wrote it, and that he wrote it just after Nathan had convicted him of, or God had given to Nathan, you know, the truth about David pulling this lie off about David and Bathsheba, and he had just convicted him, and this was a psalm written right after that. So that when and that who comes in to bring more depth to that piece of scripture. So those questions are very important to see. Finding out who it was written to. When we were studying the pastoral epistles last year, and we were talking about, well, Paul was writing to Timothy, who was a minister. That's important to know that and to understand that, because that shapes how you take everything in that book. So if you're going to take one verse, which we're going to take a verse from Timothy next week, if we take one verse from that Bible to look at, or from that book to look at, we have to remember this is Paul writing to Timothy, and we're reading his mail. And that takes that helps our perspective on that. So who wrote it? Who was written to? When was it written? Why was it written? Then examine the, and so why was it written was just purpose. We'll be getting back to this in the weeks to come. Examine the context. So in business, you've heard the term location, location, location. Okay? This is location, location, location in the Bible. So context, context, context. It's very important to understand the context. You have immediate context, which is all of that right around it. What is close? The surrounding verses, the overall purpose of that passage, and then you broaden that out to the overall meaning of that book, what the purpose of that book was. So going back to some of the digging you did on the background, that helps us to get the survey, the immediate context. So immediate context, so if you're going to drop a pebble in the water and see the ripples kind of ripple out, those would be the ripples really close. Then you move out to remote context, which is the ripples further out. So these are the ripples that minutes later hit the shore, you know, those ripples on the outer edges. So that's remote context. Anything else in the Bible? Other writings by the same author? Other places these themes are found in the Bible? So you have a passage or a small verse, then you need to look at the verses around it. Look at the passage it's in. Look at the book it belongs in. Then go out and look, where else in the Bible does this subject come up? Or where else in the Bible has this person written other things? When you're studying the book of 1 John, which is a letter written by John, and he's talking about the subject of love, it's very helpful to go back and look at what John said about love in his gospel and see his angle on it and how he shared that and how he taught about it to understand more about his letter in 1 John, to put those together. So understanding who wrote those books is important. And those are pretty easy because we have John and we have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, which are letters written by him. But a book like, you know, I mentioned, Timothy, 1st, 2nd Timothy, you kind of have to dig a little bit, find out, okay, who wrote that? Oh, that was Paul. Okay, so Paul also wrote, you know, these other things. And so, location, you've got Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy was in Ephesus, but Paul also wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus. So we've got a little bit of connection there. So you can have a little bit of a triangle, you know, study there. We've got some things in the book of Acts where Paul, when he was in Ephesus, we learn about the church and the personality in Ephesus from Acts. So you can put Acts and where Paul was in Ephesus. You can look at Timothy and the letter written to Timothy, and that reflects a little bit on what's going on in Ephesus. And then you can look at the letter to Ephesus, and that all that helps to start building on each other. So all that is how to use surveying the background and examining the context. And then use your high school English classes. You're like, man, I thought I left that in high school. So use your high school English classes. Look at the specific choice of words. Define them. Even if you know the word, sometimes going and grabbing a definition, like for instance today we were talking about how it brings, God's word brings joy to the heart. Well, we all know joy, we use joy, but sometimes it's very helpful to go and just do a quick Google definition, define joy, read the actual definition, and you're like, oh, I knew what joy was, but reading it and thinking about it helps me to pause and think, this is what God's word brings to my heart, joy. And so things like that, even words you know, looking them up for emphasis to bring to the surface a solid definition of that word can help in your Bible study in digging the author's intended meaning out of it. Look at the grammar used. If we have one of the verses that I might get into this month, and I say might, I'll explain that in a few minutes, has a specific place that I've showed you guys before. I just think it's pretty fun because it's one of the places in the Bible where it has incorrect grammar being used correctly. So it's a great passage that has a verb tense disagreement that's actually exactly what the author meant to say, the author's intended meaning. So look at grammar. That helps out a lot. So we got dig it. Understand the aim, the author's intended meaning. Then eat it. Look for contemporary significance. How does this fit the world around me? How does this fit today? So once you understand the author's intended meaning, here's what it meant then, here's what it meant to them, here's what the author intended. Now let's transition and let's eat it. Let's kind of digest it a little bit. How does this fit today? What are some timeless principles that are here? So here's a principle being taught in this parable, you know, about a farmer, about how God is so generous with his word that he's going to sow it on the path where it's not going to grow, or on rocks or whatever. You know, and there's different ways, there's different principles in that. So you see that, you know, we're not so much a farming community, but there's a timeless principle there that God wants his word to be spread everywhere. So we take that timeless principle and we apply that. We say, okay, that's got contemporary significance. So, and there's a lot of ways of doing that, but you have to understand the author's intended meaning first. You can't just jump to this part. So once you get that, then you can take the timeless principles out. You can take parallel life situations and move those over into contemporary significance. things like, you know, when Moses is all alone in a distant land, you know, that there have been many times when different, when we've experienced times when we've been in a whole new place or we've felt lonely or we've felt, you know, out of place or whatever, you know, and you can look through the life of Moses. Even when he was in Egypt, he was a little bit out of place because he was separated from his parents and he was being raised in Pharaoh's house and all those things. So that is one of those parallel life situations where I wasn't raised in Pharaoh's house, but I do know what it's like to not feel like I belong somewhere. Does that make sense? I'm flying through this, so I'm hoping you guys are getting it. And don't worry if you don't quite get it. There's a fail-safe for that. And so dig it, eat it, use it. This is just a barrage of questions to ask yourself, because if you understand what the author meant and you understand here's what it means today, you got to put it to use. You have to use it. So these are some questions to help you to put it into use. So dig it, eat it, use it. So ask these questions. Where does it touch me in my life? Where does this touch me in my life? What hope does it give me? If God's word is supposed to give me hope, what hope do I get from this passage I just read? Because that's one of the purposes. So I should be able to get some hope from this. What is that hope? That'll help us to be able to use it. Because you can put that to use on Monday. You know, when you're in a Bible study Monday morning, and you can say, okay, what hope am I supposed to get from this? Oh, I see it. You can use that immediately. You can put that to work for you right there that day. So what hope does it give me? What knowledge do I gain? So where does this touch me in my life? What knowledge do I gain? How can I grow from this truth? So did I move? Yeah, okay, so that was my bullets shift when it gets moved to my tablet. So yes, what knowledge do I gain? We should be gaining some knowledge. What was it? Then how am I supposed to grow? How can I grow from this truth? So whatever you've studied, what the author has meant, and then I understand here's the contemporary significance, how am I going to grow from this? How is this going to mature me as a Christian? Because that's one of the purposes of God's word. That's next week, I think, not the 19th. The one verse will be the verse I've selected. We'll look at some other verses also, which I don't even know what those are yet. That's the fun of this series. What is here to guide me in righteousness? So if God's word's to be a light unto my path, how is this going to guide me in righteousness? How is this going to help me to make better choices that are going to be right choices for right living, for holy living, for to live a life that's set aside for God? What's here to guide me in righteousness? What insight is there for me in life? What in this passage, as I saw what the author meant through digging, I ate it up, had some contemporary significance. So how can I use this? What insight has this given me? How has this answered any questions of why this happens or where this comes from that I can apply? How can I use that to grow with? How does this truth bring life to my soul? Such a great, you know, how does this revive my soul? How does this refresh my soul? Because it should. God's word does that. So don't let your study in God's word become stagnant or stale or boring or it shouldn't be. When you're in God's word and you're studying it, it should bring life to your soul. What is it? What about that passage you just studied is going to bring life to your soul? That'll help you to be able to use it. Because if it means something to you, if there's a passion about it, if it's affected you and impacted you, then you're going to do something about it. You're going to be able to share it more readily. You're going to be able to remember it better. And so where has this brought life to my soul? How does this bring me closer to God? So that's really the ultimate part of bringing life to my soul. How can I remember this truth? So that's another way to use it. How can I remember this truth? Because sometimes we read something and we think, oh man, that's really cool. That's a cool idea or that's a cool truth that I just gained. A couple days later, we don't even remember what we studied. So this is an important question to ask. How can I remember this? How can I put this in a file where I'm going to be able to bring it back when it's needed? So first ask yourself, what wisdom have I gained from the knowledge and insight I've learned? So wisdom being a way to apply knowledge and insight. So what application have I learned from this? How can I use this knowledge and insight? And so we'll be exploring some other questions on that to help get that question answered. First of all, how could I have used it? How would this have given me wisdom in the past? And some of you are thinking, well, that's not helping me today. It's not with that instance, but it is helping you to make a connection and see the validity of the scripture and the truth that you just read and studied. If you look at that and you say, man, if I had had that 10 years ago, I think I would have made a different decision. I think I might have done things differently. I think things would be different for me now if I'd had this truth then and I'd have been obedient to it then. And that's a way of being able to help it to connect and say, you know what, this is important. I really could have used it then. And it doesn't mean that just because you could have used it, it's gone. There's going to be all sorts of things. What's happening right now? How can you use that truth, that insight, that wisdom you just gained, that understanding? How can you use that now in your present day? How can I use this right now? And maybe you can't. You know, I use the example first service. It fits a little more in with some of the people here. You know, we've got some of our young people who aren't married yet. You know, and you're studying, you're doing a book study through the book of Ephesians, and you get to Ephesians 5, and you get to the second half of Ephesians, and it's all about husbands and wives. And you think, oh, I don't need to read this. I'll skip this and go on into chapter 6 and get the armor of God. Don't do that. We're going to learn about next week, all scripture is useful. Okay, it might not be useful to you today, but go on and read and study about husbands and wives if you're not married, because someday you might be. And you might could use that, and having that wisdom stored in your heart now is going to help later. So I use that as an example because a lot of us, maybe were there at one time when we were studying the Bible before we were married, and we got a, you know, came across those, there's marriage sections, we're like, oh, I don't need that, I'll read that when I'm married. And then you get married and you're like, oh, I wish I'd have read that, you know. But where else in our life, you know, where else can we use some of these things in our future? We might not have immediate situations. But that brings the importance and the understanding that anything you read, if you read it and you say, okay, I don't see anything in my past where this would have helped. I don't see anything in my present. There's probably going to be something in my future because all scripture is useful. So I should take this in and I should think, okay, where might this be useful in the future? So that you can find a folder to put it in your head to be able to store it away there. So those are ways of being able to remember. And then the last little bit here of using it is, do I understand this well enough to be able to share it with someone else? Those of us here who teach, we've got some Sunday school teachers here, some other people have taught before, you know, and not just Bible, I mean, if you've ever coached a sport, you know you learn more about that subject when you're teaching it than you do when you're a student of it, don't you? So don't wait to be a teacher to get that benefit from study. Study like you're going to be a teacher. Study, and when you study, think, do I know this well enough to share it with somebody? If I were going to teach a lesson on this Sunday, even though I've never taught a Sunday school in my life, do I know it well enough to teach it? And if not, go back and check it out. Dig it again. Eat it again, you know, and process it and get to that point where, do I know this well enough that I can share it? Because then that's gonna bring your Bible study to a whole new level if you've never approached it that way. So and then some very practical questions based on that for non, you know, Sunday school teachers or, you know, whatever there. Where are there opportunities to share this truth? So if you're not a teacher, even if you are a teacher, where are there opportunities in your life right now where you can share this? Who in my life could use this truth that I just studied? That I just learned, because this is valuable stuff. This brings life to the soul, brings hope and joy to my heart. Who needs that in my life right now? Who needs the hope and joy I just discovered in God's word? Don't just keep it to yourself. How can I share this? That's one of the better memory techniques I've learned that have really helped me is when I read and I think, all right, how can I share this? Who would need this? Who, you know, and maybe I don't have anyone in particular in front of me right then, but if I kind of file it away and say, okay, the next time I come across someone that's in this situation, I need to remember this passage because, man, it's so potent for that scenario, that situation. So what I want you guys to do is I want you to keep these with you. Bring them back every week. I've made extra copies, so if you see someone that's not here today, and they normally sit around you, grab a copy, call them up this week, say, hey, I'd like to sit down with you sometime and fill this out so you're ready to go next week. Because what we're going to do, and I want to show you some stuff. We're not completely done yet, so don't get too excited. Because I've got a small section here I want to talk about. What we're going to be doing for this series, we're going to do something just completely whacked out, crazy, fun. I think it's fun. We're going to use these tips and techniques that we looked at here, And I want you guys to submit scriptures, either a passage, a small passage, a single verse, maybe a character in the Bible, a topic in the Bible. And I'm going to pick from those, and if we've just got so much, I'll just have to pick certain ones. And those are going to be the subjects of our sermons the next 3 weeks. So we could have a sermon next week that has a verse about marriage, it has a verse about, you know, sacrifices, it has a verse about, you know, whatever, loving your neighbor. And we'd have a hodgepodge sermon based on these three things. But what I want to do is I want to walk you through live how to use some of these things. And I'll just kind of highlight some of the ones we're looking at, but I want you to be able to go to it and say, okay, this was in this section or this was here. And I'll pull out, here's where this really brought some light to this particular scripture. Okay. And so I want to show us how. I don't want to just dump it on you and say, here, now get busy and have some awesome personal Bible study time. I want to help guide. I want to help teach. I want to be, you know, a help to you. And so the next 3 weeks, we're going to be walking through that and kind of exercising this a little bit. That way I'm not just cutting you loose and saying, all right, go for it. You know, and you're out there going, man, he just blew through that in 20 minutes and I have no idea how to, you know, that ends up in the trash can. So if I see any of these in the trash can here, I'm fingerprinting them and I'm going to find you. So yeah, we're going to walk through it and look at how to use this. And it's not every scripture I'm going to be doing this, but on Sunday mornings I'll be bringing it to you and maybe bringing in certain parts of this that affect this scripture that was brought up and how it really brings to light some things. So we're going to do that. Now, this section down here, definitely want to draw some attention to that right there. When I brought this to the preaching team and some of the other subjects, they really have a lot more feedback on this one. I just wanted one question answered from them. And I asked them, I said, okay, if you were going to sit through a whole month of sermons on how to study your Bible, what, at the end of that, would you walk away from saying, oh, I wish he would have done this. I wish he had talked about this. I wish he would have shared this. And so I dumped that question on them and they all just kind of, and then it was kind of unanimous. We'd like resources. What resources are available to us? And I was like, all right, I'll look. So I did some looking, and these are some, I was really shocked to find some of these. So we'll walk through these as quick as we can, but I wanted you guys to see what these are, where they are. It's all right here, so you can go and kind of explore yourself. You guys are a little more digital friendly. So we'll walk through these real quick, and I've got some slides up here on that. So the first one here, first of all, a great source for Bible study is to get a study Bible. I know that sounds goofy, but you're like, well, aren't all Bibles for studying? Yes, all Bibles are for studying, but there are certain Bibles that are written to be study Bibles, and they've got a gob of extra stuff. And if you buy one in print and you plan to bring it to church with you, you might want to carry it under one arm one Sunday and under the other arm the other Sunday, because otherwise you're going to have one arm, so it's going to look like Popeye, because these study Bibles can be big and heavy and they're pretty bulky because they've got all sorts of really good stuff in it. So I did some looking into study Bibles. Just to give you an example, there's NIV. Okay, so there's three versions that I would suggest studying out of. NIV, which is New American Version, New International Version. Then the NASB, which is New American Standard Bible. Probably the best if you're really wanting to get into study. And then the New King James Version is a really good version. Don't mistake that for the regular KJV, King James Version, sorry. James was George in my head. The old King James Version has some problems in it. The New King James Version is awesome. They really made some good fixes and repaired it real well. So those three versions of the Bible are excellent versions of the Bible. I'll throw in the NLT, the New Living Translation. It's a little more on the paraphrase side, but still really good for its source. So I just found these. That's why those are the ones listed here. So just for instance, the NIV. If you're going to get an NIV study Bible, and then we've got the Life Application, which, please go and look at these things, check them out. I'm not going to have time to really get into some things here. And I'm not trying to sell from Amazon. I don't know if that's even right for me to do this. But that's where I go when I'm going to look for a book. So, but the NIV is there. There's a paperback for $24. The application Bible for $17.39. But then you can get the Kindle version for $15 and for $16, which if you're thinking $15 to get a study Bible on your phone or your tablet or your computer, and you can use it anywhere and everywhere you go, that's great. And a study Bible gives you a lot of things. I went to, there are a couple places where you can get free access to study Bibles. They're not going to have as much stuff as like that Life application. Well, actually, let's go on and go one slide forward. This is a sample of the beginning of the book of John in the Kindle version of the Life Application Bible. And what it does is all those questions we just talked about as far as the digit, getting the author's intended meaning, it's got the purpose that the gospel was written, the author who wrote it, the original audience, the date it was written, so you know when it was written, setting, what was happening at that time, the key verse or key verses, key people, key places, special features, and then it goes on. There's a timeline that would go on if we could scroll through that. It's just a screen capture there. So, but that's what a study Bible, that's just one of the things they'll give you in a study Bible. Study Bible often have things in the margins and a lot of footnotes, lots of extra stuff that you don't get in a regular Bible. So for the investment, you know, if you're still into the whole paper thing, then $35 is not a huge investment for what that Bible is going to do for you. And if you'd rather go the Kindle version, you know, $10, $15 for a good study Bible. And even if it's not the version you like to read, if you just use it for the helps in it and then read the version that you like to read, then that can be helpful too. So very, very helpful there. So there are a couple places. BibleStudyTools.com has a simple online study Bible. Biblica. And that's this next slide here. So if you go there to Biblica and you go to the NIV Study Bible and then you go one slide over, I went ahead and went to John to compare to what the Kindle looked like. So you have the author, you've got the date, you've got purpose, emphasis. So, and that's a free place to go for a study Bible. So if you don't want to, you know, throw out the money, then that's a place you can go. But you always have to have connection to be able to get to it. And you have to remember that big old long address and whatnot. So you can just go the main address and click through to find it. But I wanted to give you access immediately to where it was so you could get started using that. MyWSB.com Reader. Is this right here. This is a pretty amazing little tool. WSB stands for Word Search Bible. And if you look at the hyphen bullet underneath that, wordsearchbible.com/basic, I'll show you that page in a few minutes. That's the version you can download. And then there's also paid versions of that. I have the really paid version of that. So hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get the resources that I've got that I use. But I was shocked to find out that some of these resources are absolutely free for the public to use, and you don't even have to download the app for it. You can just go to their website right here at the mywsb.com, completely free. What I'm showing you here, what I've got pulled up here is I've got a Greek and Hebrew, the Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary, very popular dictionary. And then over here, I've got the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. This site does not have the NIV, if I remember right, but they do have the NASB, which is probably the preferred of any kind of Bible scholar. You know, if they're going to say, if you're going to study a Bible, this version's probably the best one to go with. So it's there. And so they've got probably the best version to use. And I do believe that's the 1995, the latest edition. So we've got this here. We've got that parallel. So you can run these things side by side. So then I don't think you can see it from back there. First service couldn't, but there's little letters in between these. So if you look, so the law of the Lord is, and there's a little L, and there's a little M, perfect, little N, restoring the soul. See those little? Those are all little buttons. And so if you click those buttons, so this next slide, I've clicked them. They are footnotes right there in the text. So you don't have to look up a footnote and go to the bottom of the page and figure out which number goes with what footnote. It's right there. So you click it, and right here, you know, the law of the Lord is perfect, and the footnote there is i.e. blameless. So you get footnotes right there, and you get cross-references with this version, which is awesome. And some of the cross-references are a long list. This one's just one verse. So the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. So they have Psalm 23:3 linked to that restoring the soul. And some of you would be familiar with Psalm 23, you know, the shepherd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not, Okay? So it's connecting that. So it shows you another place in the scripture where you can find that. So this study Bible helps to answer some of the questions that I gave to you on here. And it's right there for free. And then this is what was pretty amazing to me that was available for free. One, the ease of clicking those things and opening them up and closing them is awesome. If you go up to this corner here, you see the Hebrew and Greek symbols. And if you click that, we go to the next slide. You'll see it's lit up in blue now up there. And now we've got a bunch of green letters and numbers to the right of each, not each, but a number of the different words. If it's in the Old Testament, then the letter will be an H. If it's in the New Testament, the letter will be a G, and that stands for Hebrew and Greek, which is a language that those are written in. And then you've got Strong's numbers. So Strong's dictionary, the Greek and Hebrew dictionary, has words categorized by the number, and the number is connected to the Greek or Hebrew word that was the original word used. This is free for anybody to use. So it's really an awesome tool. So you can go through here and you can say, okay, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. And then if you click on that little green right beside soul, the letter there is H, because it's Old Testament, it's Hebrew, 5315. So you click on that and this is what shows up. So you have the Greek word, so H5315. And it gives you a definition of the word. It shows you where the word is from. It's from the Hebrew word that is 5314. So if you went back one, you'd be able to see the root of the word for soul. And it tells you the part of speech it is. And if you scroll down even further in that, it'll show you other places in the Old Testament where that word is used, where the Greek or where the Hebrew word is used, not the English word. So it gives you kind of a concordance then of where the actual Hebrew word is used, which is very, very, very helpful, very useful. So that is such a very great thing. So the next slide over, this is, if you go to Word Search Bible, you can download for Windows or for Mac, and that is a free version. I didn't see that for service, but there is an Android app, there's an iPad, an iPhone app. I know for my paid version of this software, I have the app on my tablet. I took that down to Haiti with me, so I'd have that readily accessible in class if I needed it. But the So you can download the Android app for free and have what I just showed you available anywhere you go. Greek, Hebrew, NASB with the cross references and footnotes. We live in a great, great time to be able to really utilize Bible study. And there's not an excuse that any of us have to not have our souls restored on a daily basis, have hope and joy in our heart from God's word. So we've got a couple other little things here I want to show to you. YouVersion app, you've heard me talk about it. If you do a Bible search in your app section, I just pulled this up on a browser because it was easier to do a screen capture. So if you go to your Google Play or if you go to iTunes or your iPod, iPhone, wherever your store is, I don't know you iPeople. I'm an Android guy. But this is the icon right here, the very first one, the brown Holy Bible or the purple, or the purple, the yellow pages and the red bookmark, and it's by Life Church. I put that on here so you'd know exactly which one you're getting. So if you haven't gotten YouVersion yet, I highly recommend it. It's a very, very, it's a great app, and you talk about versions of the Bible. They have a bazillion different versions of the Bible. They've got all sorts of different languages, and it's a great app. It doesn't have the cross, it has some little footnotes here and there, but not near as much as like a study Bible would. And I haven't found the cross reference in this version. I haven't been dependent on it for that. It's more just for reading for me and for being able to share and share with other people. But one of the things that I find that is a great thing about this is if you click on, so we go over to the next one, and here's what it looks like if you're on your computer and your phone, tablet, very similar. But you can create an account. You see my name up there. I'm logged into my account. Now, if I were to go in here and if I were to highlight verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul, and I highlight that in yellow. You can even choose what colors. If I highlight that in yellow on my computer, and then I'm somewhere and I'm reading my phone, and I come across that verse, it'll be highlighted in yellow on my phone if my phone is connected to the same account. Tablet, same thing, which is great, not only with highlighted verses, but you can take notes. So I'm reading my phone somewhere. I'm sitting in the doctor's office, and I'm reading something, and I read this passage of scripture, and I say, oh, this would be so great for my coworker, but my coworker's at work, and I'm sitting here in the doctor's office. You can put a note on that scripture attached to that verse, put a note on it, you know, verse 4, pat, you know, and then save it. And then when your computer or when your tablet or back on your phone, even if you can't remember the scripture where you were, you can go to your notes and it has a list of your notes and you can find your most recent note. Aha, here's where it is. You've got bookmarks you can do. And another thing you can do with YouVersion is the plans are awesome. So we'll go on one more over. So if you click on the button up there called plans, or you go on your phone and you click plans. And if you guys remember, we used Like Jesus that helped us with one of our sermon series recently. This is where it came from. It's a little 7-day devotional. Excellent devotional. Excellent. And this is one of just gobs of different devotionals, studies. They have programs, reading programs. So you say, okay, I want to read the Bible all the way through in 1 year. You go on there and you can find where you read the whole Bible in 1 year or you read most of the Bible in 1 year. They've got one plan where it's just kind of the highlights and you get it done in a year. And then what it'll do is on your phone, you can have it on your home screen and it comes up and says, okay, today you read this and this and this. And so you go and you read it. Now, what if you don't read it? Then you get an email from YouVersion saying, hey, did you forget to read today? Or, you know, if you're 7 days behind, then it really starts bugging you. And you're like, leave me alone. I'm on to another study already. But it's great because to have that extra little accountability, that little reminder can be very helpful. And it can be that can be all it takes to keep you online to study and make a habit out of Bible study. And so they've got all sorts of studies and plans there. And then the last little thing down here, Bible Gateway has a lot of different things. If you look up here at the top, you've got Bible study, App Store. So there's a lot of different things here. But one thing I found here that I didn't find in other places, it's another useful tool, and that is the Knaves Topical Study Bible. And if you're familiar with a concordance or an exhaustive concordance, which what that does is it finds where words are all through Scripture. So if I'm going to look for the word sacrifice, and I use a concordance or a search program in my word search program that I use, the one that you guys can get for free, and I search sacrifice, then it's going to give me every passage in the Bible that has the word sacrifice in it. Now, if I want sacrifice or sacrificed or sacrifices, then I'd do sacrifice with an asterisk. So that's a wild card search on anything after the word I just spelled. So I would get all that. Now, a topical study, it's going to grab the topic sacrifice, and it's going to find passages in the scripture that deal with the topic of sacrifice. So, for instance, when the widow gives her one little penny, and the disciples, you know, and Jesus is like, she gave all she had. That passage, now I didn't look at that passage, but if that passage does not have the word sacrifice anywhere in it, it would not show up in an exhaustive concordance because the word sacrifice wasn't there. It probably would show up in a Knaves topical study because it would be under the topic of sacrifice. So you find extra little things, and Knaves kind of sorts through where this can be overwhelming. You know, 584 occurrences of the word sacrifice in Scripture, where Knaves might pull up, you know, a smaller list but more potent passages. So that's why I included this in your list, because that's a little tool that I didn't see any of the other places I was looking. So these are all little tools, and then through our study, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be using these. I want to try and limit myself away from my programs that I have so that I can use these and show you how I use them through the week and pick up some highlights on different things so that we can kind of use these together. So in the weeks to come, preferably this week would be best so we can kind of organize. Send me some Facebook messages, or you can get on the post that I put on the church Facebook page. You can text me if you've got my phone number, or email me from the church website, and share a passage, a small passage, a scripture verse, a topic, a person from the Bible, and once I kind of have those lists, then we'll pick out a few of them each week, and we'll walk through this together to learn how we can use these tools, learn how we can use these tips and techniques, and put it all together to help to improve every one of us in our personal Bible study time. So let's pray real quick, and then we can move on to our invitation. So I had a bunch to pack in today. So Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for leaving it for us, for blessing us with it.